Welcome to The Appleseed, the storytelling podcast from BYU Radio, where your family can gather for great stories from great storytellers in every episode. Stories bring us together, and we hope the stories on the show will spark memories and thoughts that you can share with the people you love. I'm your host, Sam Payne, and first up today, a beloved Italian folktale called Bastianello. It's a story in which a marriage celebration is almost wrecked by a ridiculous, in fact, an entirely imaginary problem. And our protagonist, the groom, is so troubled by the attention paid by his wedding party to this imaginary problem that he leaves in a huff. And when he does, what does he find out in the world? Let's just say it's enough to change his perspective. There are a lot of versions of this story. There's even a famous opera based on the tale. We think you'll really love this version, told by the wonderful North Carolina storyteller Donna Washington. Recorded live in the Appleseed studio, here's Donna with Bastianello.
How many of you have ever been in an argument with someone and said something you did not mean? Raise your hand. How many of you have ever gotten really upset with someone and said something you did not mean? Raise your hand. How many of you have ever gotten upset with a parent and said something you really should not have said? Yeah, it's a thing, right? You get really upset, your mouth opens, and something just sort of falls out. Well, this is a story about that. And it's also a story about love. Yeah, I know, I'm sorry. But it is. It's a story about love. And it's about the fact that sometimes you're going to argue with people, and it's okay. I first saw this story when I was at university. I went to Northwestern, and that's where I studied theater. But I got into storytelling there. And when I saw this story, I remembered a book I had when I was a kid. I love this story. It's called Bastianello. And the story goes like this. Now, there once was a tailor, and he was in love with the grocer's daughter. He would go in to buy his vegetables, and they would kind of giggle at each other. And it just got to a point where he knew he had to be with her all of his life. And he asked her to marry him, and she said, of course. And then he asked the grocer, and the grocer said, what did she say? She said, okay. So the wedding was to be had. Now, the tailor was a pretty well-to-do man. He had himself a nice home, and he had a very nice stocked wine cellar. And the festivities were happening at his house after the wedding. They were having the big feast. And while they were there, they ran out of wine. And so the tailor was going to get up and get some. And his new wife said, oh, no, I want to do it. He said, all right. He explained to her where the wine cellar was. And so she took the pitcher, and she went to the door where the wine cellar was. And she opened the door and looked down. The stairs are really steep and narrow. She thought, oh my. And she went down really, really carefully, and she got down at the bottom, and there were all the casks of wine, and she put the pitcher beneath one of the casks, and she opened up, and wine started going into the pitcher, and she thought, I am so happy. I've married the tailor. He's a wonderful man. And what if after a year, we have a son? Bastianello. But she didn't say it like that. She was so excited that she said, Bastianello. Would you all say that with me? Here we go. Bastianello. Oh, he's going to be a wonderful boy. He'll grow to be a young boy, and I can just see him at the age of 4. And what if one day he's playing at the top of these terrible stairs, and he falls down these terrible stairs and breaks his little arm? Ah! She starts crying down there in the wine cellar. Wine is running all over the floor. Well, she doesn't go back to the wedding. So the tailor says, well, let me go find her. And her mother says, oh, no, I will go. Don't worry. So she goes over, and the door has closed. So she opens the door. Ah! She goes down the stairs. Halfway down, she hears her daughter crying. She thought, oh, no. She goes down these terrible stairs. There is her daughter weeping, whine, running all over the floor. She said, did you fall? Are you okay? She said, oh, mother, it's terrible. What if after a year, the tailor and I have a son and we name him? Bastianello! And what if one day he's playing at the top of these terrible stairs and he falls down and breaks his poor arm? And her mother said, ugh, that poor child. And she starts crying, wine running all over the up at the wedding, the tailor's getting a little nervous. The grocer said, oh, I'll go and find them. I'm sure they're fine. So the grocer comes, and of course the door is closed, so he opens the door. Ooh. He goes down the terrible stairs. Halfway down, he hears all this weeping and wailing. He thought, this is terrible. He gets down to the bottom. There's wine all over the floor. His wife and daughter hugging each other, rocking back and forth. He says, what happened? And his wife said, oh, it's terrible. What if after our daughter and the grocer have been married for a year, they have a son and they named him Bastianello? And what if one day he's playing at the top of these terrible stairs and he falls down and breaks his arm? And he said, oh, that poor boy. And he starts crying. All three of them sitting in the wine cellar, weeping their eyes out. Wine running all over them. Finally, the tailor says, excuse me, he goes, and he goes, now he's been going up and down these stairs since he's been about 4 years old. He opens her, boom, 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 goes right down. There they are, screaming and holding on to each other. The first thing he does, shuts off the wine cask. And then he says, what's going on? And the grocer said, oh, it's terrible. What if after my daughter, you've been married for a year, you have a son, and you name him Bastianello? And what if one day he's playing at the top of these terrible stairs, and he falls down and he breaks his arm? Let me see if I understand this properly. The three of you are sitting down in my wine cellar, wasting wine, crying about something that did not happen? Is that what's happening here? Now, when you say it like that, it doesn't sound good, does it? Maybe. He said, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. We're crying about our son. We don't have a son. But we could have a son, and if we do, we'll worry about it then. But then they all start yelling at each other. Because, you know, when you've done something and you feel a little foolish, you get a little defensive about it. And the person who thinks you've been really foolish, especially when he's upset that the wine is all over the floor, he might not be, well, desirous to be nice. And the three of them, or the four of them, started yelling at each other. And it got louder and louder. And you know how when you're hearing people fight and you're not part of the fight, you kind of want to go, ooh. But you know you shouldn't do that. And then the people at the wedding got kind of nervous and everyone just kind of left a little bit. And they came up the stairs still screaming at each other. And the tailor says, this is the most foolish thing I've ever heard of in my life. And his wife said, are you calling us fools? He said, no, but I should have. And his mother-in-law said, we are not fools. Yeah, you kind of are. You are foolish. In fact, you are probably the most foolish people in the world. And of course, the grocer said, we are not. And the tailor was so angry. He said, yeah, well, you are, and I'm going to prove it. I'm going to go out in the world, and I'm not coming back until I find three people more foolish than you. And he ran out of the house and got his horse and took off. And he rode for about 10 minutes and stopped. Because he had just left his own house. And vowed he wasn't coming back until he could find three really foolish people, more foolish than the people he just left. The easiest way to end an argument is to apologize. The hardest way to end an argument is to apologize. He thought, I'm gonna be out here forever. And he went on down the road. And he stopped and he heard. Bang. He went around a corner. A man came running out of his house with a spoon. Bang! He went to a well. He pulled up the bucket. Water was dribbling out of a big hole. He put the teaspoon underneath and got one teaspoon of water. He dropped the bucket. He ran back in the house. Bang! The tailor just watched this process 3 or 4 times. He said, excuse me, do you mind if I follow you? I don't care. I'm busy. He's like, I can see that. The man took that teaspoon of water into the house. There was a huge pot on the stove. He dropped the teaspoon of water into the pot and went back out to the well. The man looked in the pot. It was half filled with water, completely filled with potatoes. The man came back in. The tailor took the spoon out of his head. What are you doing? Just hear me out for a second. What's happening here? The man said, I've got to fill up my pot. If I work at it all day, I'll be able to cook my potatoes tomorrow. So the tailor said, watch this. He went outside. He got some straw. He broke it. He pulled the bucket up. The man said, where are you taking my bucket? You've already got my spoon. Just watch. He put the straw in the hole, cut it off, got some tar, made a plug, dropped the bucket in the water, pulled it up, took it into his house, and poured a bucket of water on the potatoes. The man was amazed. He said, you've got to be the smartest man who ever lived. The tailor handed him his spoon, went back, got his horse, and said, one. He went down the road a little more hopeful. Then he heard, he came around the corner. There was a man in the middle of the road without any pants on. At the bottom of a tree, there was a pair of pants. The man climbed up the tree, angled his legs at the pants, and let go. Tied his pants back up and went back up the tree. Excuse me, don't bother me. Trust me, I need to help you. Come down, in a minute. The tailor took his pants. Where are you taking my pants? Nowhere. Come here, he turned around. Put your leg in the pants. He did not put the other one in there. He did. He pulled it up. Man said, wow! My father taught me to put my pants on the other way. This is amazing! The tailor said, I'm a professional. He said, you're the most amazing man I've ever met. Thank you. You've changed my life. Off he walked. Two. Well, he might be home for dinner. He got on his horse. And then he heard, the leg, the head, the head, the legs. Big argument going on. He came around a bend, and there was the most ridiculous thing he'd ever seen. It was a wedding party. Everyone's kind of grumbling, but most of the people look terrible. All of the nice suits are wrinkled and dirty. All of the women, you know, when you like spray that bun on, it falls down. Swinging back and forth. And everyone's clothes are wrinkled and everyone looks sad. There are three people having the loudest argument. And they're saying, the head, the legs, the head, the legs, the head, the legs. And someone said, tail, be quiet. The head, the legs. They were standing in front of a big arch. There was a very tall horse and a very tall girl. And it was clear that they couldn't fit easily under the arch because the horse was tall and the girl was tall. There were two grooms, the groom who'd married the woman and the groom who took care of the horse. And they were arguing. The head, the legs, the head. And so finally, the tailor, he just like, what is this? There's like 30 people here. He stopped, he said, excuse me, what's happening? And they said, we don't have time. I know you don't have time because clearly you're all very busy. But what's going on? And the man who'd married the bride, the groom said, look, in our village, when you get married, in order to have a good life, you must ride under this arch. But as you can see, this horse is too tall. We need to cut his legs off and drag him beneath the arch. And the groom who took care of the horse said, you are not cutting my horse's legs off. The problem is this woman is too tall. If we cut off her head, she'll fit right under the arch. And they went back to arguing. The head, the legs, the head, the legs. The tailor walked up to the lady and said, psst. She leaned over. He said, just keep bent over, just like that. And he led the horse under the arch. And all 30 of the people jumped to their feet and began to applaud. He said, that's more than three. He went home, and by that time, his poor wife was outside waiting for him. And they embraced each other, and everybody apologized. And they had a wonderful, wonderful supper, because there was a lot of food left over, because everyone left before it was completely consumed. A year later, they had a son. And they named him Bastianello. But he never fell down the stairs because they kept the door closed.
That was Donna Washington with Bastianello. You know, I sympathize with the tailor in the story, don't you? It's easy to look around and see people complaining or lamenting about troubles that you think are ridiculous or overblown. But you know, I also feel a lot of sympathy for the bride and the wedding party, allowing their imaginations to run away with them until even a minor problem, in this case, a problem that doesn't even exist, occupies your whole emotional landscape. That happens to me. Has it ever happened to you? You know, my wife and I have a daughter who we love. She's grown up and living on her own, a capable, intelligent, skilled, lovely adult person. And we'll often answer the phone to find her on the other end, and she's worried about something. She's heard something on the news, or she's encountered something at the grocery store, or seen something on social media, and it has just paralyzed her with worry. I don't know if you can relate. I can. And sometimes it's a real serious problem, worth serious thought. Heaven knows there are enough of those in today's world, right? But other times it's something less serious, but still capable of filling you with the kind of fear that can be made even worse with a little imagination. And my wife is such a great person to talk to when there's something to worry about. And I hear my wife talking to our daughter a lot. In fact, on these phone conversations, I mostly hear my wife's side of the call. And so I hear some of the questions she often asks. I hear her often ask, "What is it that you're afraid will happen?" And then I hear her listening and working and loving and frank conversation to find a good specific answer to that question. And then I often hear her asking, "What is the likelihood that the thing you fear will actually happen?" And then she listens, and they work to find a good specific answer to that question. And often I hear her asking, "What can you do to keep the thing you fear from happening, or to live effectively in a world in which it does happen?" And then I hear her listening, and I hear them working out a good specific answer to that question. And I'm so glad our daughter calls her mother to talk through these things. That feels like an important thing, to have someone you love and trust to talk to, someone who will take even your ridiculous fears seriously and who will be frank with you. And I'm also grateful that I've been in the room for enough of those conversations that those questions have been able to carve a kind of furrow in my own consciousness. You know, those questions my wife asks when I have things to worry about, I think about those questions. What is it that I'm afraid will happen? What is the likelihood that the thing I fear will actually happen? And what can I do to keep the thing I fear from happening, or to live effectively in a world in which it does happen? Maybe you have some go-to questions you ask yourself when you're worried about something. Or, even better yet, someone to talk to. In any case, that's where Donna's story took me. Where did it take you? And who will you take along? Now, how about another fun story about problems? This one's from the great storyteller and musician Bill Harley. And it's about the fact that sometimes we cause problems or magnify them just by insisting on being right. Have you ever been there? You might relate to this song recorded live in the Appleseed Studio. It's called "Is Not, Is Too."
I'm gonna sing a song about siblings. Anybody here a sibling? I thought as much. I'm so sorry to hear that. And it's got a part for you. So let me see you on the right side over here. You guys in the right earphone. I have two words I want you to sing. They go like this. Is not. Try that. Is not. Very nice. That's nice. And you over here on the left side of your head, I want you to respond in kind. Is to. Try that. Is to. Very good. And since they're not listening, I want you to repeat yourself twice. Is not. Try that. Is not, is not. And over there on the left, what do you think your part is? Is to. And now we're going to escalate. And it's a geopolitical term, which means why listen? We'll just yell louder. So I'd like you to do it four times, like is not, is not, is not, is not. Try that. Is not, is not, is not, is not. And you guys over here, wait a minute. All right, over here on this other side of your head, I only want you to say it three times. Is to, is to, is to, because life is not fair, and that's when you learn it right here, okay? So there goes, is to, is to, is to. But there is that at the end, and so if you want to say, huh, it might make you feel better about the whole thing, okay? So it goes, is not, is to, is not, is not, is to, is to, is not, is not, is not, is not, is to, is to, is to. Uh-huh, right. Not over there. You don't get to say that. Okay, so let's try it. Is not, is to, is not, is not, is to, is to, is not, is not, is not, is not, is to, is to, is to. Right. I've got a sister, she is 9. She likes to argue all the time. What's more unfortunate, at least she likes to argue most with me. If I say black, then she says white. If I say day, then she says night. My mom says, why can't you agree? I say, it's her fault. Don't blame me. Your part is not, is to. Is not, is not, is to, is to. Is not, is not, is not, is not, is to, is to, is to. No matter what I say or do, it seems that I just can't get through. I tell her, something's wrong with you. She never sees my point of view. I yell it loud so she can hear. I yell it loud into her ear. I could yell all day and night. She won't see what I say is right. Is not, is to. Is not, is not, is to, is to. Is not, is not, is not, is not, is to, is to, is to. One day. We went too far when we were yelling in the car. When we got home, my mother said that two of you go right to bed. From my room, I heard her call. My sister talking through the wall. It's all your fault, we're stuck inside. Here we go again, I cried. Is not, is to. Is not, is not, is to, is to. Is not, is not, is not, is not, is to, is to, is to. My mom said, you two drive me bats. I said, go tell my sister that. She said, no, it takes both of you to argue just the way you do. If you won't listen, you are bound to watch your fight go round and round. Instead of saying is not, is to, why don't you both say something new? Fine. Is not, is to, is not, is not, is to, is to, is not, is not, is not, is not, is to, is to, is to. Is not, is not, is not, is not. Everybody on the hut together. Is to, is to, is to. There you go.
That was Bill Harley. With is not, is to. Have you ever been in an argument fueled by an insistence on being right? Have you ever been consumed with worry over something that wound up not being all that big a deal? Have you ever felt your problems were unique and then looked around the world to see that other people have problems like yours? Did you ever have an argument with a sibling? I bet you've got some stories. We hope you'll share them with the people you love. In fact, we hope you'll share the stories with us. We might share them on the show. You can tag us on social media or send us a message at theappleseed@byu.edu. That's theappleseed@byu.edu. We want to thank Donna Washington and Bill Harley for sharing their tales with us today. You've listened to their stories. Now it's time to share some of your own.
If you love the Appleseed, check out Wink, Stories for Better Bedtimes. It's another BYU Radio podcast we think you'll love. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts.